The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding men and women, and then we'll go a little bit further into the subject of sex. So, overview of today's broadcast. The relationship between men and women is the essential foundation on which human existence builds. This broadcast discusses the main elements of that relationship that are essential to understanding the role of men and women in life. We will start by stating that Yah created men and women with a clear vision. We will note that Yah intended men to lead and defend, and it is stressed that there's seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers today. We will look at the demographics of women and men on earth in the body of true believers today. It is stressed that sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage. We will note that Yah intends there to be passionate sexual lovemaking. We will note that sexual orgasm in contact causes a one flesh bond. We will note that adultery is the formation of one flesh bonds between men. It will be noted that men and women pass through various stages and states. We will then discuss the essence of my message regarding sex and note that sex is a fundamental element of being human and that sexual intercourse is an extremely powerful spiritual act. We will then discuss the Virgin's Covenant. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis of what I teach on these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show in the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So today we're going to look at my message 2021-0504, the essence of my message regarding men and women. The relationship between man and woman, or women, is the essential foundation on which human existence builds. This article discusses the main elements of that relationship that are essential to understanding the role of men and women in life. This article is focused solely on spiritual believers in the Almighty Creator. Elements of it will not make sense to others, particularly unbelievers. So if you're not a believer, by all means, listen to this and see what you can get out of it. Some of it is totally applicable to you about the one flesh bond and the love bond, etc. But some of it won't make a lot of sense to you. And that's a good reason to come to belief. I'm not trying to put you off. So Yah created men and women with a clear vision. Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. You may know Him as the Lord or God. Yah created men and women with a clear vision of their respective roles, and for us to understand this and operate according to the original design. A man united with one or more women with a strong sexual bond is a very powerful spiritual force. It's really important to be aware that Father created men and women distinctly differently physically, physiologically, emotionally, even spiritually in a way. There's no confusion between a man and a woman in Father's eyes. The fact that the world is mixed up, muddled up, and there's all sorts of confusion around these things today doesn't alter the fact that that was the design intent. And I don't know how to say this in a non judgmental way, but if you were born physically a man or a woman, some medication and some physical operation to make it appear that you're of the opposite sex is not going to cut it in heaven. If you're a believer and you have that sort of treatment, you're ultimately going to end up in heaven with the gender that you had when you were born. Then Yah intended men to lead and defend. Yah intended men to lead and defend, and women to support and nurture. These roles are equally important. A man and his woman, or woman, in perfect harmony, is a phenomenally powerful spiritual entity. This is comparable to the commanding officer of a military unit and the second in command or command council. Folks, I just want to be absolutely clear about what I just said. I am not saying that women are in any way inferior to men. I am saying they were created to perform distinctly different functions in life. And having said that, I have to say to you that it is entirely possible for a woman to be the chief executive of a business, to have a strong leadership role, and to do any number of things. I'm also saying that physiologically, women are designed differently to men, and we need to recognize those differences, respect those differences, and honor those differences. If you understand your role in Father's plan as a man or a woman, and seek to be the best man or best woman that you can be, you will reach your full potential as a human being in this life and accomplish the greatest amount that you can accomplish. I then want to make you aware of the fact that there are 7 times as many women as men in the body of true believers today. There are 7 times as many women as men in the body of true believers on earth today. And there are many more women than men in heaven. Women have equal standing as men before Yah in all matters. And it is grievous sin to subordinate them or put them down. Because there are not sufficient men for all believing women to have a believing monogamous husband, and because it is grievous sin for a believer to join themselves sexually to an unbeliever, the majority of believing women in this age should remain without a sexual union with a man. They're entitled to have a lifetime permanent caring sexual relationship with another believing woman or woman, and I understand that that's controversial. Rick Joyner, in his book, The Final Quest, reports that there are many times more women than men on thrones in heaven today. Look on the website under the Eternity page. You'll find The Final Quest. The book is available to purchase on Amazon and other places. There are free PDFs available to download off the internet as well. If you've never read The Final Quest, I strongly recommend it. The key thing there in the context of this point is that there are many more women than men on thrones in heaven today. So if you're a man and you're a believer and you look down on women in any way, you are going to get a nasty shock if you get to heaven. And one of the things that grieves me deeply at the moment is the reports that I read of the way women are being treated in Afghanistan and in certain other countries. It's just not Father's will. And if you're a believer who's treating women that way, I really encourage you to rethink your position. If we look at the demographics of women and men on earth in the body of true believers today, there are about 20 overcomers. And of the 20 overcomers, there are far more women than men. Then there are good and faithful servants, and the ratio of women to men there is about 10 to 1. In terms of the wise stewards, it's about 7 to 1. In terms of the adulterous wives, it's about 3 to 1. In terms of the foolish virgins, it's about 4 to 1. In terms of the outer darkness, the unbelieving believers, it's about 2 to 1. And then in the unbelieving unbelievers, the unbelievers who go to church and worship Jesus, etc., it's about 3 to 1. The point I want to make with what I've just said out to you is the closer you get to Father, the more women predominate. If you're a woman and you are really seeking to serve Father, you are much more likely than a man to end up in a high position in heaven for eternity. And it's really important to understand that if you're a man with a bad attitude to women, I really encourage you to rethink. You could well, if you make it to heaven, find yourself in a situation where you are under the direction of a woman. You certainly will not find yourself in a position where you are giving direction to women. It's a big thing, folks. So as I've just said, as a man, be aware that you may be accountable to a woman in heaven, if you make it there at all. And be aware that treating women badly on earth will lead to harsh judgment when you die. And again, I stress that this is if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you're not going to heaven, so it doesn't matter. You're just going to be a demon stranded on earth, riding on one of your relatives or friends or on some stranger and leading them into sin. Just a very lonely, very unpleasant way to spend the next best part of 1,000 years and possibly eternity. Note that it is entirely possible for a believing woman to become a high-powered business executive, minister, or other leader. If you have some prejudice that based on the fact that the Bible says that a woman should submit to her man in everything, that somehow women are inferior and that they're chattels to be used and abused and dominated and dictated to, it's just so far off the mark. You need, as a man, to treat women with respect, and as a woman, to treat men with respect, as mutual equals in the service of Yah. If you don't do that, you will get a nasty shock when you get to heaven, if you're going to heaven. I believe that most of the men who are treating women badly are not going to make it into heaven. Most of them are not believers. I believe that a man who's truly spirit-filled and close to Father will, for the most part, treat women well. But I can't vouch for that with any high level of confidence. Then sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage. Sexual intercourse with a virgin, with rupturing of the hymen and shedding of blood, is a covenant act and initiates a lifelong blood covenant relationship. The taking of virginity is the act of marriage. The marriage ceremony in the church or the mosque or the synagogue or the registry office, etc., is to all intents and purposes meaningless and carries very little weight, although legal divorce is required before a woman can join herself to another man without judgment. Where a woman has lost her hymen or is a widow or is legitimately divorced in the court of heaven, first sexual intercourse with the ejaculation of semen and spirit constitutes the act of marriage. The terms of the union are fixed at the point of shedding of blood or the point of ejaculation. Because a woman can only covenant with one man, it is apparent that Father intended men and women to be able to live in covenant relationships of one man with more than one woman. Regrettably, in this age, very few women are able to share their man, so monogamy is prevalent and unavoidable. See the webpage Virgin's Covenant Lost and the further webpage The Essence of Message regarding the Virgin's Covenant. And then regarding divorce, see the webpage Men-Women and the child page Men and Women and Family, child page Separation of Man and Woman, and see also the essence of my message regarding separation of man and woman. Folks, there is no such thing as sex before marriage. If you have sex with a virgin, you married, claiming that because that happened before a church wedding, it's sin, is just not true. Then Yah intends there to be passionate sexual lovemaking. Yah designed us to enjoy passionate, caring, considerate sexual lovemaking with multiple orgasms to result in a powerful force that binds man and woman or women together through the one flesh bond, soul ties, love bond, etc. Yah's will is totally uninhibited lovemaking within the lifetime covenant union. There's a huge misconception amongst many believers that sex is something not to be enjoyed. It's something that's only for the creation of children. Not so. What you see and why people get sucked into pornography, etc., where people have wild, uninhibited sex, but they do it adulterously and in fornication. Yah intended us to have really enjoyable, passionate loving sex within our covenant relationship, not with whoever we meet in the pub in the evening or somebody from work or whatever. Start your life outright. Ask Father to help you to find the right man or woman. Engage in a discussion regarding what you're going for, what you stand for, what you believe, your background, etc. And if you conclude that you are well suited to each other and you can see yourself spending the rest of your life together, then make love, consummate your marriage. If you want to thereafter go to church and get it blessed, well, so be it. If you really want to be legalistic about it and don't have sex until you've had the church wedding, that's up to you, but it's really not necessary. Then sexual orgasm in contact also causes a one flesh bond. Sexual orgasm or ejaculation of the male or the female projects the spirit of the person climaxing. And if this happens in contact with another being, a one flesh bond is formed. This is intended to bind man and woman together. A one flesh bond can be formed with any part of the person's spirit. During vaginal intercourse, this is the strongest bond. Ejaculation in the vulva, the external sexual organ of the woman, is a betrothal level bond, as is ejaculation in her anus. Ejaculation elsewhere still produces a bond, albeit a weaker bond. Ejaculation in remote sex, telephone, Zoom, etc., also results in a very weak bond and a covenant, and can constitute the act of marriage. So if you get on a phone call with a virgin and you have phone sex and you ejaculate while as a man or orgasm climax as a woman on that phone call talking to each other, you will potentially get married. Sex is powerful. It's not to be messed around with. Even ejaculation looking at a photograph will produce a very weak bond and contamination if it's illegal. Men can form one flesh bonds with other men if they have sex, and humans can form one flesh bonds with animals. Men and women can form one flesh bonds with animals. These are all abominations in the sight of Yah. Now, I want to point out that adultery is the formation of one flesh bonds between men. Adultery is the formation of a one flesh bond between two men. Either two men who both have a bond with the same woman, or two men who directly have sex with another man or with an animal. Either way, it's an abomination. There is no greater sin for men. It is no greater sin for men to have sexual intercourse with men than it is for a man to have sex with a woman who's joined to another man. There is huge confusion, partly because of the whole thing about Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, if two men have sex, in Father's sight, it's an abomination. If you're unbelievers, it really doesn't matter. Do what excites you. But if you're a believer, you will be judged. The thing to understand is whether two men have sex or two men have sex with the same woman, it's the same spiritual state. There is a linking of the spirits of the two men, and that's adultery. So it's absolute hypocrisy for people who are casual about sex and have sex with the same woman to in some way condemn men who have sex together. Ultimately, it's between the people concerned. If you want to fornicate, if you want to have homosexual sex, that's your choice. But the thing is, if you're a believer, there are certain things that don't work and certain things that are going to bring you into judgment and bring you into a time in hell when you die. So frankly, it's not worth it. Then men pass through various stages. They're a child to puberty, about 13 years old. They're a man from 13 to the age of 30, and they're learning about the family business. I'm talking now about the ideal situation, the way things were intended to be 6,000 years ago. They're then a father to the age of 50, running the family business, and they're an elder above the age of 50, running the city, the country, etc. It is important to be aware of these stages and work with them. That is what we're programmed for. The reality is today, we don't raise children to come to manhood at the age of 13. We raise them to come to manhood at, depending on which country you live in, 16, 18, 20, 21. And so we get people who are being treated as children who are behaving as adults, and then they do things that they shouldn't do. There's a lot of complexity here. If we understand the way it was intended to be, and we order our lives in alignment with that, life could be so much easier. But there's no ways that you're going to take a 13-year-old today and get them to assume responsibility at the level that we're talking about. Just remember that when he was 13, Yeshua was in the temple in Jerusalem arguing with the scribes and the Pharisees. And then just after that, he left Israel and went to Persia and India and Tibet and was teaching there about the things of Father and being taught spiritual techniques. Then women can also have various states and stages. Again, different levels of age, similar to men. And then a child to puberty, 13 years old. A virgin in the Bible is a woman at puberty, which is, in those days, in Bible times, was the age to marry. But 13-year-olds in present society are not ready to marry at this age, and it is illegal. So don't do it. Wait until it is legal to have sex. Woman is a woman who is in sexual life covenant. So the word woman in the Bible refers to a woman who is in sexual life covenant with a man. And a widow in the Bible is a woman whose man is deceased or a woman who is truly divorced. A harlot in the Bible is a woman who is joined to more than one man. There's much more about men and women on the website. See the page Men, Women, and all the child pages under that. It's really important to understand the above and apply these principles in one's relationships with men and women and covenant relationships. Part of the issue here is that originally girls matured much earlier. They were ready to marry at puberty. The society in which they lived was geared to that, and it was acceptable and it worked. But it's over the years, we've moved away from that. Girls are not mature enough to marry at 13, but they do become sexually active at that stage. And one of the tragedies is the extent to which women younger than the age that's where sex is permissible lose their virginity to unsuitable men, and it complicates and messes things up for the rest of their lives. So that's my message about men and women, and I want to go on to my next message. We'll start with my next message, 2021-1102, the essence of my message regarding sex. I'm going to take a deeper dive into the sexual aspect of what I've just been talking about. Sexual lovemaking results in massively powerful spiritual forces, which are little understood and therefore largely ignored by all sides of the spectrum of believers and unbelievers. Sexual lovemaking was very carefully and thoughtfully crafted by the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and should therefore be treated with respect as a very precious gift. Fundamentally, what follows is addressed to believers, although most of the principles apply equally to unbelievers. If you find yourself getting offended, I ask you to reconsider. This really is important. Fundamentally, sexual lovemaking is the highest spiritual act that human beings can perform after worship of the Creator. But most believers do not know how to do this well. This broadcast is intended to address this shortcoming. Following are the major components of sex and sexuality, which in my experience are fundamental to understanding the sexual nature of human beings. Folks, there's all sorts of restrictions and folklore and wrong thinking about sex. Father created sex to be enjoyed. He created it to bind us together. It's a fundamental element of being human. Without sex, there's no reproduction, and human beings would die out. Sexual reproduction is a very carefully designed mechanism for ensuring diversity and sustainability. Accordingly, one must recognize that sexuality and sexual reproduction and the associated sexual desire, sexual lovemaking, etc., are intrinsic and fundamental elements of being human. This article seeks to make visible the full extent to which sexuality is central to human existence on Earth. Sex is intended to be highly pleasurable, and we have a huge number of nerve endings and mental and emotional drivers that exist only to help us enjoy sexual lovemaking and desire it. Sexual lovemaking is intended to create a powerful, unbreakable bond. Every time a man or woman experiences orgasm, they eject part of their spirit that bonds with their partner. Folks, a lot of religious people think that sex is dirty and only under the covers and only the missionary position and shouldn't be talked about and so on and so forth. Father wasn't confused when he created us to be sexual beings. He wasn't confused when he put all those nerve endings in our sexual organs. He wasn't confused when he gave us that desire for members of the opposite sex. So he intended sex to be enjoyed. He intended us to be able to have sensible, mature conversations about sex in the right setting, and as I've said before, in a covenant lifetime relationship, not messing around, not one-night stands, not fornicating. The satanic and demonic realm have orchestrated matters such as unbelievers may experience the full power of sex, whereas believers are frequently prudes and very inhibited sexually. Thus, learning about sex is very difficult for believers. Hence the case studies cited at the end of this article. Celibacy is not from Father. We were designed to live in loving family units with intense, uninhibited sexual congress. All religious teaching relating to celibacy is false and not from Father. Yeshua was celibate for very specific reasons that do not apply to any other believer and have never applied and will never apply to any other believer. Loneliness leads to unwise socialization, which leads to unwise sexual unions. We were not designed to live alone. We were designed to live in caring, loving relationships with lots of cuddling, kissing, lovemaking, communing, etc. Marriages where this is missing will almost certainly eventually end up on the rocks. Folks, there's a whole body of religious teaching around Shaul, Paul, in the New Testament, because he was celibate and single. That was his choice. It doesn't form a basis for doctrine, and it does not form a basis to say that in order to serve Father, you need to be sexually celibate. Father showed me many, many years ago that one of the huge errors of certain churches which teach celibacy was absolutely wrong in his sight, where a man actually ended up, he was so desperate because he couldn't control his sexual urges that he hacked his genitals off with a carving knife and threw them out the window, screaming in agony. That's not from Father, folks. Please believe me. Same goes to celibacy of women. There are whole religions that teach that. A family unit where men and women or women are tightly one flesh and in harmony will be very prosperous, and a family unit where the members are not in harmony will be in lack and will ultimately fail. Note that a person on their own is relatively weak spiritually. Particularly a man needs at least one woman in strong covenant in order to prosper. A single woman can request Yah to be her husband and to cover her and protect her and therefore be very strong. For reasons discussed later, the predominant situation for believing women is to live on earth without an earthly husband. Folks, I regularly encounter believers who are in lack, and almost universally Father shows me that it's because either the man or the woman has sexual one-flesh bonds with people outside the family unit, or that the man and the woman are not in harmony. A divided house will fall. I've recently come to understand that it is impossible for a family to be in strong harmony if they do not live together. So your ideal state is a family, a man and a woman, or man and woman who live together. And there are all sorts of complexities with that. Don't get me wrong, I do understand that. And I want to stress that sexual intercourse is an extremely powerful spiritual act. Sexual intercourse involves spirit-to-spirit contact between the parties engaged in the sexual act with associated very powerful forces at play. Sexual lovemaking, in which both parties give themselves freely and considerately, causes a spiritual force we call love to come into existence. More correctly, this is chesed in Hebrew, meaning covenant love, as described in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 10. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, or love never dies. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Folks, this is so important. If you go and make love to somebody and have to then separate from them, it will tear you apart. If you make love on a regular basis, even for a few days or a few weeks, and then try and separate, you will find it is extremely painful. We weren't intended to create love and then walk away from one another. It's terribly painful. This is really important. Love never dies. Do not make love to someone you do not intend to spend the rest of your life with. You'll be torn apart if they leave you or you try and leave them. This phenomenon leads to a lot of spiritual confusion in those that fornicate. The power of sex is something that is well understood by Satanists and witches and is used very effectively by them. The spiritual forces at play here are real, whether you believe it or not. Hiding this from believers is one of Satan's most successful frauds. The red Valentine's heart is a symbolic representation of the aroused woman's vulva and therefore has strong sexual connotations, which should be kept in mind in using that symbol. Only use it with someone you are in a sexual life covenant with. Folks, there is a huge amount of secular material out there, pornography, just general chick flicks on TV, movies, where fornication is just taken as normal. If you're a believer, that is extremely destructive. Find somebody that you're a good match with, that you can live with, that you come from the same social circles and the same background, and that you get on with well. Consummate a relationship with them and stay with them for the rest of your life, making passionate love on a regular basis, treating each other with consideration, affection, and love. The Virgin's Covenant. When a man penetrates a virgin and ruptures her hymen with shedding of blood, this is a covenant act we bind the court of heaven, a covenant union, what we typically call marriage, comes into existence. I write here with regard to believers. For unbelievers, the court of heaven is not interested in. The Virgin's covenant is unbreakable by human beings, and it locks the man and woman into a lifetime spiritual legal agreement, which locks down whatever they have agreed or not agreed at the moment that the hymen is ruptured. Thus, whatever was in place before the basis of their relationship, whether they like it or not. So if the man was in submission to the woman, then that is the state for the rest of the union. If the man has multiple sexual partners, then the woman has by default consented to this. Likewise, if the woman has multiple sexual partners, and so on for all other facets of the relationship. See the web pages Virgin's Covenant Lost and Essence of Messagery Virgin's Covenant for a detailed discussion of this. Where a woman is no longer with the man who took her virginity, and there's no way that he will take her back, if she is a believer, she must do all she can to contact him and ask him to take her back, and it is only if he refuses, which is commonplace, then she can ask Father Yah for a divorce. Folks, I fairly regularly minister to women who are battling with stuff, who are not with the man who took their virginity, men who have taken the virginity of women that they're not with, and it causes all sorts of problems. Look at the webpage on separation of man and woman for prayers to deal with that. So I will continue with that teaching next week. In closing, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator today. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I want to stress to you, we were created for this. We were created to be friends of the Creator. The whole universe exists for one reason only, because the Almighty was lonely and He wanted friends. He created all of this, right down to the planet, the plants, the animals, the human beings, to you, so that you could be His friend. And if you're not His friend, you are missing out on the fundamentals of why you were created. I really encourage you, if you are touched by this message, to get on your knees and ask Him to help you to become His friend. It's a journey. It's worth it. Just wrapping up, key documents and a video on the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also to Muslims, Jews, other belief religions, available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. It's on the screen. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they are all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Also on the screen right now. Click on the show and then podcasts, or alternatively search on Google for quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published between 1998 and May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's about 2,400 articles on the website, over 1,000 web pages, huge amount of information, over 20 plus years of walking closely with Father. A lot of it's inspired, anointed at some level. Go there and I'm sure you'll find what you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org, endtime issue ministries, one word. Please email me to join the mailing list, also james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies your footstool. Folks, Father wants to be your friend. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are, how tall or how short, how fat or how thin, how well educated or how poorly educated, how rich or how poor. He's not interested in that. He's not interested in your race, your tribe, whether you're black or white, whether you've got blonde hair or black hair or brown hair, whether you've got brown eyes or blue eyes. He's not interested in that. He's interested in you, the person inside the body, the spirit being. He wants you to become his friend. Get on your knees right now and say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I desire to become your friend. Please help me to become your friend. Email me and I'll be delighted to help you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you.